If you're a podcast junkie like I am, you probably thought about starting your own podcast. I can tell you firsthand that starting your own podcast was the best decision that I ever made in my life. Buzzsprout is the easiest and hands down the best way to launch a professional podcast. In fact, it's so good, Buzzsprout has already helped over 100,000 people launch their own podcast. Buzzsprout will get your podcast on the major directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. You even get a great-looking website, audio players that you can drop into other websites, details, statistics to see who's listening to your podcast, tools to help promote your episodes, and on and on. Plus, Buzzsprout provides the necessary resources for podcasters to learn the ins and outs of podcasting from the people that eat, drink, and breathe podcasting. To start your own podcast and get a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes to get started on your podcasting adventure today. Buzzsprout, the easiest way to start a professional podcast. Welcome to today's episode of the Rise Up Motivational Podcast. I'm your host, Byron Pringle, and if you have not done so, hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss another episode of our podcast. And if you love what we do here at the Rise Up Motivational Podcast, please go ahead and give us a rating and review wherever you're streaming this episode from. Your reviews helps our podcast be seen organically by more people. So go ahead and give us a rating and a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Welcome to the Rise Up Motivational Podcast. I'm your host, Byron Pringle, and today we are recording episode 5, Family and Parenting. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I just want to say for those who do live in the Midwestern area in the U.S., I truly hope everyone is fine and I pray things will get back to normal soon. For those who don't know and are unaware on the events that occurred on Monday afternoon, a massive storm, which I guess is referred to as Derecho, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, but it's a strong thunderstorm that brought upward to 100 mile per hour winds with heavy rains, which caused a lot of destruction. For those who don't know who we are and don't know where we're based out of, we're actually based out of Iowa City, Iowa, and we got hit in the midst of that big storm. We lost power for a couple days. We're slowly getting back up on our feet, but our neighboring communities like Cedar Rapids and Linn County, they were really affected the most. And even today, they're without power, and they're looking at about 5 to 7 days. So again, my prayers are sent out to everyone that has been affected by this massive storm, and I pray that everything gets back to normal soon. On last week's episode, we dived into our second pillar, relationships. We covered our first sub-pillar, friendships. And now today, on episode 5, we will dive into the second sub-pillar of relationships, family and parenting. The other day, I got an email from a listener from our show, and she asked, how do we know if a friendship is toxic? And is it ever good to just cut ties from this long-term relationship? Now, my advice, friends come and go for many reasons. And honestly, if you feel your friend is dragging you down and they just seem negative and they don't provide any kind of fulfillment in your life, then yes, you should cut ties with that person, even if you've been friends with them for several years. Let's take a plant for an example. Okay, so a plant is a living organism. They have basic needs to survive. Now, a toxic friend will limit your growth and will keep you in a certain mindset that will challenge your full potential. You need to grow, and sometimes you need to remove yourself from certain people's lives in order to grow, regardless how long you've known them. And see, plants are the same way too. They can't survive in one, like in a small pot when you buy them first or get them. Eventually, you gotta transport them to a bigger area so they can grow into their full potential. And this is kind of the same thing we're talking about here, but in this case, in your mindset. So, you know, on special occasions, you know, in situations, you might just want to have a limited association with that individual. This will allow you to have a little bit of a relationship with them, but it also allows you to make room to start meeting new people that better aligns your interests and your life goals. So that would be my advice on that. But thank you so much for writing into the show. I appreciate it. I really hope this advice helps you, and which this is actually an excellent segue in today's episode with family and parenting. Now, we've all heard the old expression, you can't choose your family. So who you are today stems down from your childhood. And today we will be discussing the practices that we put in our parenting life to our children and how that's going to impact our children for tomorrow. I've had people ask me in the past, like, you know, what am I doing something wrong? Should I be doing something different? And, you know, I mean, those are all great questions here. Now, for those who don't really know me, now I'm actually from a large family. I have four brothers, and I was raised by both my mom and my dad. My parents have constantly encouraged me to work hard, pursue an education, and to follow my passion. They raised me to be independent and to form my own opinions and be decisive. They wanted me to become successful in life, but they also believe that success comes in many forms and it takes hard work to achieve. Now, I'm not saying I had it easy by all means, of course. I've had my share of bumps and bruises along the way, but I am going to say I'm very thankful to have such a wonderful family. Now, I do have three beautiful children and a girlfriend that I truly, truly love, but I can't help but feel that some of my success stems down to my core values and what I've learned during my childhood from my parents and their parenting practices. So, now, in my opinion, coming from being a dad, parents influences their children in countless ways. Children, I feel, do inherit some traits from their parents. First of all, parents create the environment that the children are raised in. So let me say that again. Parents creates the environment that their children are raised in. Second of all, parents have a heavy influence on their children's intelligence and their personality by the way they choose to interact with their child. As their child grows, parents prepare their children for life as an adult, either if it was directly or indirectly. Even as an adult, they have considerable ongoing influences, either in person or as in memories. Interesting enough, there was an article that was published just this year from Parenting Network that found that there are 10 key ways your parents' behaviors shaped you and possibly might have impacted you in how you are today. So we're going to cover these 10 items here. Number one, if your parents made you do chores, you are more than likely independent. So, number one, if your parents made you do chores, you likely take on tasks independently. Number two, if your parents taught you social skills, you are more likely to get a college degree and a high-paying job. Number three, if your parents told you white lies, it may have led you to have issues trusting others in your adulthood. Number four, if your parents spoke negatively about their body, you are more likely to have low self-confidence. Now, number five, now I did some research on this. If your parents set high expectations for you, you probably did better in school. So in 2015, a study found that children whose parents expected them to go to college perform better, even on test results, having testing with higher testing results. The trend occurred among both wealthy and also low-income families. Number six, if your mom was constantly stressed, you were more likely to be worse at math. So I had to dive into this a little bit, I did some investigating on this one. So this is what I found. According to research, the amount of time parents spend with their children when they are between the ages of 3 and 11 years old, has little impact on their academic and emotional well-being as adults. But the mental state of the parents, especially with moms, had a significant effect. A 2015 study published in the Journal of Marriage and Family found when mothers are stressed and sleep deprived, or even have severe anxiety, can lead to behavioral and emotional problems, as well as lower math test scores. So number 7 here, if your mom went to a high school or college, you are more likely to do the same. Children born to teen moms who did not finish high school were less likely to finish high school or go to college, according to a 2014 study led by the University of Michigan. Number 8, if you are a girl and your mom worked outside of the house, you are more likely to earn more money than other women. A study straight out of Harvard Business School found daughters that has working moms in the U.S. earns an average of 23% more than girls raised by stay-at-home moms. Also, they are more likely to complete a 4-year degree and work into a managerial role than other girls. Number 9, if your mom was loving and attentive when you were a baby, you were more likely to do better in school. When parents are loving and they provide that fostering environment around their children, as young as 3, those kids grow up to score better on exams, according to a 2017 paper in the U.S. National Library of Medicine. So, and then finally, number 10, if your parents taught you to verbalize your feelings in your relationships, in your romantic relationships, found that you would have less complications in your romantic relationships if you'd verbalize more. If your parents told you to describe how you feel or use words to express how complex feelings are, you can better communicate during adult romantic relationships. Styles of communication are often formed by observation and direct experience of our primary role models in childhood. Hey everyone, real quick here, if you're a small business owner, rather if you manage a dentist's office, a chiropractor firm, a law office, or if you're even a fellow podcaster like myself and you're looking for a way to broaden your audience to attract more clients, Facebook currently has well over 2.6 billion active users as of early 2020. And to help drive these users to your company, we are working with Facebook with their ad campaign manager to help small and medium-sized businesses like yours to leverage this amazing tool to help grow their business. If you're looking for a way to drive more traffic to your business and to help build a strong customer base at the fraction of the cost, please contact us today so that we can set up a marketing ad campaign for your organization. Contact us today by emailing the show on our Facebook page, and let's work together today to build a more profitable business for you tomorrow. All right, let's go ahead and get you back to the show. So imagine your child just turned 18, they graduated from high school, they got their diploma, they're getting in the car, they're going off to college, or they're moving out of town for a better job. Now, you're thinking your parenting job is over, right? There's one thing about parenting, it never stops. Once you become a parent, you remain a parent the rest of your life. So let me say that again. Once you become a parent, you remain a parent the rest of your life. So the end of your child's adolescence is not the end of parenting. It only marks the transition to a new set of changes and challenges. But when is adolescence over? What comes next? How does parenting alter? When adolescence is over, then our young childhood begins, roughly spanning the early 20s to about 30. This period ends when the young person becomes anchored in adulthood, and at least in 3 different fashions. Number 1, he or she has played with enough independency, and they just want to settle down. Number 2, there is an emergence sense of occupational or career future to work for, so they're more career-driven. Number 3, and finally, the final life partner, they just want to settle down, get committed, and share the journey of adulthood with. So ideally more like marriage in number three. No matter how grown up, no matter how old they become, these adult offsprings forever remain your children, just as you forever remain their parent. And the relationship is always challenging because the rest of life, parenting demands constantly changes, and we have to provide accommodations. What makes these accommodations so hard for parents are several adjustments they have to make through tolerance, reversal, and demotion. So we're going to go ahead and start with tolerance. If you are in the sandwich generation, positioned between having older parents and adult children, you can understand how your children sometimes still struggle to get along with you by how you sometimes still struggle to get along with your parents. Now, bridging these differences with acceptance is key here. Understanding that your parents aren't perfect. You as a parent, you're not perfect. You made mistakes. And understand that your children as parents are going to make mistakes. You accept that as you grew in spite as well as because of parenting you received. The same that can be said for your children. And you can hope they come to accept the imperfections in you. After all, no matter how hard everybody tried, they all had failures because at our best, all of us are only human. So we must tolerate not only each other, but ourselves. Adjusting to reversal can be challenging as well. When our children are young, our task is to get them to fit into our lives, to learn what we think is important, and to fulfill our agenda for what needs to happen. When they become adults, however, to a significant degree, our roles reverse. Now, our task as parents is to fit more into their lives, to understand what they believe is important in their lives, and to respect their agenda for what needs to happen in their lives. Loss of traditional influences can be hard for some parents when they still have adult children who still consent to submit to their dominance, not daring to displease or challenge parental authority. It often takes a bold act of independence, sometimes waiting until the young person's 30s to break this dependency. Then the adult child stubbornly embraces a new lifestyle, adopts a new life path, and selects a new life partner that parents typically would disapprove. And when they question or criticize or oppose this decision, the young person finally stands up for him or herself with a definitive statement of independence. It's my life and I will live it as I please. And now that old observations rings true in the struggle over independence, parents never defend their grown children. Grown children always defend their parents. The last reversal of the adult child slash parent relationship plays out during the parent's older age, when the responsibility is dramatically shifted, when dependency is reversed. At the beginning, childhood, the parent would take care of the child. But when the end of the parental life happens, then the child takes care of the parent. Finally, there is the demotion for parents to get used to. When your adult child becomes established in the world, preoccupation with managing this separate life can take precedence over involvement in the lives of the parents. When the adult child marries, you become less important than this new partner. And when the adult child and the partner becomes parents, you become less important than this new child. Less important, mind you, doesn't mean less loved, only less of a priority. Then there can be the demotion from the devoted to the dutiful attention when the weekly phone calls or the occasional visits or remembering special occasions from an independent adult child sometimes feel more obligated than heartful. But as one mother put it, if dutiful is the best I can get, then I'll take it. Lesser caring is caring nonetheless. It is the blessing and the curse of doing their job well. when parents succeed in growing their children to independence, now these adults will act more independently of them. So does parenting end with parents not mattering? Not at all. If parents remain mindful of their roles as a parent, remember how the little child used to call, "Watch me, Mom," or "Listen to me, Dad. See what I can do? Let me tell you what I did." What was it that the little child wanted? The answer is parental attention, interest, and approval. Needs to adult child never really outgrows. So again, even that five-year-old that you used to spend days and days with is now 35. He or she still wants your attention in a different manner, but we never really outgrow the needs and our love for our parents. So when parents continue their roles as emotional supporters and they're working tirelessly as they are cheerleaders as we grow, what they have to offer is their adult children never goes out of style. They never lose their value. Regardless of the age of your child, they will always hold value in your life. Now, perhaps the German poet Rainer Maria described the ultimate relationship between parents and adult child when he wrote, "Once a realization that even between the closest human beings, infinity distance continues. A wonderful living side by side can grow. If they succeed in loving the distance between them, which makes it possible for each to see the other whole against the sky." So, well, that's all the time I have for you guys today. I'm sorry I got a little bit emotional there. Emotional at the end there, but it's just, I have three kids of my own, and I love them to the moon and back, so it just kind of hit me from home there. So, but, you know, as a parent, you never take a day off. You know, regardless if your child is 5 or 35, like I said, you know, they always seem to always need their mom and their dad, and that's a blessing there. So again, that's all I really have for you guys today. If you guys liked and share, if you guys did really enjoy this episode, please like and share it on your Facebook or your Instagram stories. We only grow when you guys share our content so that our message can get out to other people that really needs to listen to our message. And I'm going to go ahead and leave you guys the same way I do at the end of every episode to make it your God bless, your God-given mission to be a blessing in someone's life. I love you guys. I appreciate all you guys, and I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day. Take care.